A person who knows how to work will always seek to perfect others. This does not mean that he does less work. Rather, he works more than the rest of the saints, because most of his work is to perfect the saints. After he has served for 3 to 5 years, the saints can do and are doing whatever he can do. This is the way for us to build up the church. The Collected Works of Witness Lee, 1958, Volume 1, page 131. This week we continue the series titled, The Goal of Our Christian Life. We're speaking from Brother Andrew Yu on the importance of perfecting others for the Lord's work. This is part 3 of Message 6 from a conference hosted by the church in New York City in November 2015. A link to the full audio can be found in the episode notes.
Okay, let me finish this reading. When a church is founded, the believers from the very outset must learn to meet by themselves. You know, don't say, oh, my home is too, there's too few people and we're just too young in the church life. We don't know how to meet. Guess what? You got baptized last week. You can open up your home this week and you can start meeting. You believe me. There's always people that are younger than you are. You're baptized last week. Well, guess what? There are some people baptized this week and you can shepherd them. And so the older ones shepherd the younger ones, both the older ones in age shepherd the younger ones in age, as well as the older ones spiritually shepherd the younger ones spiritually. So they must learn to meet by themselves, either in their own home or in some other buildings which they are able to secure. Of course, not every church is a church in a house, but a church in the house should be encouraged rather than considered as a drawback. So it's not a drawback to have meetings, church meetings in the homes. Rather, it should be encouraged. Who is saying that? Not me. If I say, oh, I encourage you to meet in the home, you say, well, you know, Andrew, you're promoting things. Watch Benir saying that. So blame him. The principle of houses still applies today. This does not mean that the whole church will always meet separately. So, you know, there are occasions when all these districts, they come together. And hopefully when they come together, by then it won't fit this meeting hall. We'll need a big tent. Amen. Maybe we'll meet in the stadium. Amen. But throughout the week, throughout the months, we meet on all the small homes. This does not mean that the whole church will always meet separately, but the meeting place for the believers could generally be. Generally be, that means usually it's meeting in a private home. Let's see if there's more that I quote. In the first place, people feel, okay, so now it's talking about the advantage of having the meetings in the homes. In the first place, people feel much freer to speak of spiritual things in the unconventional atmosphere of a home. You know, tonight, if I say, okay, well, sure. Oh, everybody, look around. Oh, so many people. How can I share? But if it is in a home environment, then it's different. It's, you feel more free to share. Watch Manish says that. Where everything is conducted, this is much better than in a spacious church building where everything is conducted in a formal manner. Besides, there's not the same possibility for mutual intercourse. You know, tonight I can't have mutual intercourse. It's like one directional. There's not enough time for you to reflect back. Somehow, as soon as people enter those special buildings, they involuntarily settle down to passivity and wait to be preached to. A family atmosphere should pervade all the gatherings of the children of God so that the brothers feel free to ask questions. Everything should be under the control of the Spirit, but there should be the liberty of the Spirit too. Further, if the churches are in the separate homes of the brethren, they naturally feel that all the interests of the church are their interests, talking about ownership. There is a sense of closeness of relationship between themselves and the church, the sense of belongingness. Okay, next one. Still further, the meetings in believers' home can be a fruitful testimony to the neighbors. That's the gospel. And they provide opportunity for witness and gospel preaching. There are home meetings where all the children with their parents gather together for the home meeting from the same block. And you cannot happen in too many cities in this country, but certainly here in New York, because high rise are more. I grew up in Hong Kong, and some saints, you came from Korea, you know that it's very possible that you can have a district meeting on the same building, just the same block. And it's happening in big cities like Shanghai today. And so, you know, I don't know why, what the watchman need to speak about that in such a prophetic way, but that was 1937. And, you know, he is at, if he's talking about today, many who are not willing to go to the church, quote, quote, would be glad to go to a private house. Isn't that true? How many of you witnessed that? That you invite people, they won't come here, but they come to your home. And the influence is most helpful for the families of the Christian, children. From early days, the children will be surrounded by a spiritual atmosphere and will have the constant opportunity to see the reality of eternal things. Watchman Nee said that in 1937. Again, if meetings are in the homes of the Christians, the church is safe of much material loss. There is no big maintenance. There is no expenses. And there is no big target for the terrorists to come and bomb you. One of the reasons that Christians survived the Roman persecutions during the first three centuries of church history was that they had no special buildings for worship, but met in cellars and caves and other inconspicuous places. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
So, my argument wins. Meeting in the homes is much better. Next one. Let's see what is the next one. So the scriptural method of church organization is simple to the extreme. As soon as there are a few believers in the place, they begin to meet in one of their homes. So tonight, anybody, if you have a home, you can have meetings in your home if you just open your homes. If the number increases so that it becomes impractical to meet in one house, then they can meet in several different houses, but the entire company of believers can meet together once in a while in some public place. A hall for such purposes could either be borrowed, rent, or built according to the financial condition of the church. But we must remember that the ideal meeting places of the saints are their own private homes. Are you convinced?
Amen.
Would you open up your home?
Amen.
That's my point. If you get that point, the message is finished. But we still have a few slides, and I'll go through that with you. Okay, what are we doing in the homes? So we talk about G-O-A-L, and the A is for active groups. And why do we need active groups? It's so that the perfecting can be done by you, by all the saints. Now, if we have a big meeting hall, who can do the perfecting? I do the perfecting because I speak more. Sorry, I speak long-winded. I speak loud, and I speak all kinds of ways. But guess what? I got the podium. So I do the perfecting. But listen, if the meeting is in your home, who does the perfecting? You do the perfecting. So you perfect those children, you perfect those neighbors, you perfect those students. You perfect those Spanish-speaking people, you perfect those Korean-speaking people, you perfect them. So that's why the home is the ideal place for perfecting. So the next thing is we must see, what are we here for? We're here not just for perfecting ourselves, we're here to perfect the saints and committing the work to them. Not just for the co-workers and the elders to commit the work to the saints, but even for you who have been saved only for 3 years, that you need to commit your work to the new ones. And a brother came with me to the meeting tonight, and he said, I want to open up my home. I want to spend time to build up the group meeting. But there is a burden to have the district meeting. And so should I take care of the district meeting more, or should I take care of the group meeting more? I said, of course you take care of the group meeting more. But here's the problem. Most people, when they take care of the district meeting, then they start taking care of the district meeting year after year after year after year. And 5 years afterward, they're still the district leading ones. I said, even if you're the president, you only get 4 years. And I think if you're the district leader, there's absolutely no problem. Except that next year, you got to get somebody else to be doing that. And you move on. You move on. You either move on to another district, or you move on to open up your more homes and to take care of more people to bear more fruit. And in this way, it won't be a hindrance. It won't be a struggle. It won't be a contention. It would be just you, more feel open, you just bring in more people. We all need this vision. I tell you, every day I'm just thinking, there's so many saints in the Lord's recovery. How do I make everybody useful? The young ones, the older ones, how do I make everybody useful? You know, you got a dream like how Brother Lee dreams. Anyway, you got the point. So here is quotes from this book that I mentioned yesterday morning, The New Revival, or The Law of Revival. So this is taken from the book, The Law of Revival. And it says this, our work today is one in which, what is our work? To perfect others to do the work themselves, to perfect the new ones, even the high schoolers, to perfect them, to do the work so that they would do the work. We're not here to work for others. Paul produced a Timothy to be his disciple. Timothy then committed the work to faithful ones. The faithful ones went out and perfected others more. This is the way of our work today. It's not more preaching. It's not more simply more ministry, quote, quote. It's to produce more people to be involved in the Lord's work. Only those who can teach others the work will succeed in the work themselves. When a person takes all the work upon himself, he is in reality telling everybody else not to work. So because I work, you don't need to work. So we train all the full-timers, and we send the full-timers to all the churches, and the full-timers, they are so diligent, and basically they're sending the message that I'm working, so you don't need to work. I'm taking care of your high school students, so you don't need to take care of your high school students. And in spite of the fact that months later, they come back and beg the parents, take care of your children. Take care of your son. Well, the parents said, well, you're here. What do I need to do it for? It's your job. I offer the money to make you a full-timer. So you should do the job. It's like I pay my money for the accountant, so the accountant do my books. Then I don't have to do the books. So I pay you the money to be a full-timer. So you take care of my boy. That's your business. That's your responsibility. And if my boy doesn't come to the meeting, you bear the responsibility. When a person takes all the work upon himself, he is in reality telling everybody else not to work. The work of the co-workers today is to lead others and to induce the others to work. Their job is to distribute the work to others. So my job, what is my job? It's not just to, everybody just follow me. I am the star. So when I come and the whole place is filled up, and I feel so happy because I am, you're all supporting my work. So that is a really unfaithful and foolish worker. You know, what do I do? I don't need to speak that much. I come to this place and you're idle, I make you busy. You're idle, I make you busy. I make you busy. In 3 months, everybody's busy. And then I don't need to even speak because everybody rises up. That's my job. That's my job. The work of the co-workers today is to lead others and to induce everybody to work. Their job is to distribute the work to the others. They have to use whatever means they can, whatever means, to cause the others to work. That's Brother Lee's word. Okay, next one. Sorry for this smaller. The leading ones must struggle and strive for this. They must learn to help others to do the work. And I say the same thing to you. Don't think that this is just for the leading ones. For every one of us, we have to struggle and strive for this. Every one of us must learn to help others to do the work. If we do this, we will have a future. Otherwise, we will remain stuck at our saturation point. At present, the church in Taipei has reached a saturation point. No matter how many co-workers or elders we have reached the limit of their ability. It doesn't matter how much they preach the gospel, they cannot break through. If the psychology of the leading ones does not change, our present capacity can only do so much. Unless we train more and perfect more, we're at the saturation point. The solution is to change a concept and to help others to do so. Okay, next frame. One day we will all pass away, and everybody knows I'm not going to be here forever. And another generation will rise up. That's Watchman Nee's word, CWWN. The next generation that bring it must not be made up of 3 or 5 serving ones, but must be made up of the whole church serving. If one day the whole church rises up to do everything by itself, with the whole church preaching the gospel, whole church edifying each other, that will be the day when the world will see the church doing a new thing on earth. Today, the world whole problem lies with you and me. We must help every brother and sister to serve and make everyone a priest of God. Some may have the flesh, but we still have to ask them to work. Some brothers say that what they have is so little, it would be better if they hid it, but we have to tell them that they cannot do this. It is an easy thing for the one talent one to hide what they have. Many brothers and sisters feel that since they make mistakes, no matter how they work, they may as well not work at all. But we have to ask them to work. This is the way. Please believe my word, in not too distant a future, such a church will appear. By that time, men will see Philadelphia, the genuine brotherly love. Okay, next frame. The leading ones must struggle and strive for this. They must learn to help others to do the work. If we do this, we will have a future. Otherwise, we will remain stuck at our saturation point. No matter how many co-workers or elders we have reached the limit of their ability. So no matter how much they preach the gospel, they cannot break through. If the psychology of the leading ones does not change, our present capacity can only do so much. Unless we train more and perfect more, we are at our saturation point. So you get the point. The point is that everybody, they have to get the work out of their hand into other people's hand. And when they get it out into other people's hand, then there will be a future to the work. Next frame. So I summarized that as seven points of emphasis. The emphasis of our work today is not on what we do, but whom we have perfected. It doesn't matter whether you get the soup cooked right, it's in the process you get your daughter trained to make the soup. So it's not in what you do, it's in whom we have perfected. Not on getting things done, but on getting people involved. Not on maintaining what we have, but on gaining more to do what we do. Not on working ourselves, but on perfecting others to work. Not on our success in the work, but on others' success in the work. Not doing a direct work, but doing an indirect work. And not merely working on man, but working through man. I think there's a lot of wisdom in these words, and it takes time to digest them, but I always try to remind myself, what am I doing here? Am I just doing a work of just, you know, myself working and just getting other people out of business, or am I here to build up the body of Christ?
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @livingtohim.